He had me pressing in about the kingdom. And a lot of times we have this concept that the kingdom of God is going to start when the millennium of God is going to be established. But the Word of God says that the kingdom is at hand. Our Lord said the kingdom was at hand. And His real press was to wake us up. So the kingdom is spiritual. It's not necessarily always to be focused as a natural thing, but a spiritual reality that's already working in us. So if you'll bow your heads, we're going to run to Him. Father, without You, this is not going to work. But I'm asking You, Lord, to put this together the way You want it done. And let Your Holy Spirit transform us from what we were to what we need to become. Amen?
Amen.
If you'll go to Matthew chapter 13, we're going to be looking at the Amplified, because that's where He had me going. And a lot of times, you know, we take for granted some of these words that are written. But other times, we'll learn that His ways are just so awesome. And if we trust, the rest will fall into place. So if you want to start on your own in chapter 13, verse 1, you can, but it's kind of sweet. That first verse said, the same day Jesus went out of the house, so He had a house, and was sitting beside the sea. But such great crowd gathered about Him that He got into a boat and remained sitting there while all the throng stood on the shore. And He told them many things in parables, that is, stories, by way of illustration, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the roadside, and the birds came and ate them up, etc. Most of you know this word. But in verse 10, the disciples came to Him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And He replied to them, to you it has been given to know the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. Now, sometimes you might think that somebody's got that goat nature or the ram nature, and they are wild and they're intended to be wild, and God says it's okay. Leave them alone. You're not supposed to try to change them, because for some, again, listen carefully, to you it has been given to know the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. Has anything changed? Is He still the same yesterday, today, and forever? So some, you can pound your head until the cows come home, stamp your feet, do a dance. It isn't going to do what? It's not going to do anything. It's not for them. It hasn't been. They haven't been called in. They're not ready. They are doing what normal people do. What did normal people do? They what?
Run.
What else do they do? They sin. They're called sinners because that's what they do. They're doing the natural thing that you and I did until somebody put a hook in our mouth. And He reeled us in. I should have heard a couple of amens, but...
Amen.
Verse 12. For whoever has spiritual knowledge, to him will more be given. And he will be furnished richly, so that he will have abundance. But for him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. kingdom isn't fair. It's a theocracy. Now, 13. This is the reason that I speak to them in parables, because having the power of seeing, they do not see, and having the power of hearing, they do not hear, nor do they grasp and understand. So for some, they can't figure out who you are and what you're doing. And you better just get used to it. Because, again, it's a real need for us to obey. 14. In them indeed is the process of fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, you shall indeed hear and hear, but never grasp and understand. And you shall indeed look and look, but never see and perceive. For this nation's heart has grown gross, fat, and dull. And their ears, heavy and difficult of hearing. And their eyes, they have tightly closed, lest they see and perceive with their eyes, and hear and comprehend the senses with their ears, and grasp and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I should heal them. But blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are your eyes, because they do see, and your ears, because they do hear. So that's the kingdom. Okay? Let's look at verse 17. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous men, men who were upright and in right standing with God, yearned to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Listen then to the parable of the sower. While any one of is hearing the word of the kingdom, and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in their hearts. This is what was sown along the roadside. As for what was sown on thin, rocky soil, this is he who hears. And he hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy. Yet it has no real root in himself, but is temporary, inconsistent, lasts but a little while. And when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, at once he is caused to stumble. He is repelled and begins to distrust and desert him whom he ought to trust and obey, and he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the pleasures and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit and yields it. Yields in one case 100 times as much as was sown, in another 60 times as much, and in another 30. And he goes on to tell about the next level. If you study the balance of this, you're going to learn that we are living in a time when God wants to send his fire down. And if you really look, you'll see verse 41 says, the Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of offense. Persons by whom others are drawn into error and sin. So is it your job to clean them up? No. God's got angels on the job. The Lord can do it if you release it to him. And all who do iniquity and act wickedly. Verse 42. And cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth. Verse 43 is important because it's giving you a picture of yourself. Then will the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with God, shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their fathers. Let him who hears, let him who has ears be listening, and consider and perceive and understand by listening. The kingdom of heaven is like something precious buried in a field, which a man found and hid again. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is a dealer in search of fine and precious pearls. Didn't know you were dealers, right? Who on finding a single pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet, which was cast into the sea and gathered in fish of every sort. Watch again the pattern. When it was full, men dragged it up on the beach and sat down and sorted out the good fish into vessels. But the worthless ones, they threw away. Fisher people. Verse 49. Are you ready? Take a deep breath. Say, this is God's opinion.
This is God's opinion.
So it will be at the close and consummation of the age. Are these the last days? Mm-hmm. Who's speaking?
Jesus.
Say it with me. So it will be at the close.
And consummation of the age.
2012 could be it. Aha! Yeah, the Incas. There's something going on at the end of this year. Maybe they're right. It's the close of one age and the beginning of a new age. The kingdom age. The angels will go forth and separate the wicked from the righteous. Those who are upright and in right standing with God, and cast the wicked into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth. Have you understood all these parables? Taken together, they said to him, "Yes, Lord." He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher and interpreter of the sacred writings who has been instructed and trained for the kingdom of heaven and become a disciple is like a householder who brings forth out of his storehouse treasures that is new and treasure that is old, the fresh as well as the familiar." When Jesus had finished these parables, the comparisons, he left there, etc. You say, well, how will I know that the kingdom is coming alive in me? By the fruit you shall know them, right? The spiritual conditions that you can recognize in a person who's walking in the kingdom now, they're going to be full of humility. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you have to wait till 2012 is over? No. Sympathetic service, Matthew 25:34. Sympathetic service. Say, are you a servant? Yes. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Matthew 25:35 gives you the reason and what they've done. "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in." It's confirmed in Luke 6:20. So if you've got somebody that asks you for a glass of water, you say, "Well, you've got two legs, get your own. Tell me how much of a servant you are. You ain't going to fool anybody. The kingdom ain't in you, kid. You're getting ready to be thrown into the fire, so change it. And if you can't change it, ask for help. Holy Spirit has not changed his mind. Perseverance. Luke 9:62. Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Whoa! You want to serve in the kingdom, you better get used to holding on. Not getting rid of everybody. If they're an irritation, they deserve to be kicked out. No, they don't. They deserve prayer and intercession. You aren't tired of serving them? Well, get used to it. Jesus washed their feet. Peter was angry. He didn't feel like washing anybody's feet. That's not an example I want. Well, guess which kingdom you're from? And I know I'm hitting you hard, but you know what? I had to hit me first. New birth. John 3:3. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Endurance. Acts 14:22. Endurance. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Woo-hoo! Hardships I don't like. But they're designed to what? To let the kingdom blossom through me. Faith and love. James 2:5. "Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him?" Say, "Oh, I thought it was going to be easy. The kingdom is just going to flip over the calendar. It's going to go to 2013. Everything's going to be great." You got a year to practice. Pretty close, anyway. How are you going to do this when they don't deserve to be treated with love or mercy or grace? By the power of the kingdom within you. Not the power of your brain and all the excuses you can give yourself to be, "I'm perfect. So if everybody was like me, ooh, we'd have a heavenly relationship. Oh, it would be so cool." And I'm teasing you. But I'm also telling you, you can't change yourself. The only one that can do it is Christ. And if you need fire, he's got the baptism of fire available for you. It's not make-believe, it's real. If you've got children that are misbehaving, love them. If you've got adults that are being a pain in the neck and they're always got a butt, like that ram over there, intercede for them. Pray for them. Don't give up. I'm going to share with you a little bit of a testimony. 20 years ago, I met a young man. He had been high on drugs for many years. He was trying to go to college, but he decided that college wasn't it. And about 2 years after I met him, he decided to take a shotgun and he decided to shoot at anybody in sight because of the amount of alcohol and drugs that he had in his system. He made national news. He put holes in every wall of his mother's home. And he was put away in jail. He stayed there, I can't tell you how many years, but I would say at least 5 or 6, maybe more. We talked to him about the Lord. Some of my relatives are related to him. And about 3 years after he was released, he was doing pretty good. But things didn't get any better. A couple of years ago,
he decided that he was going to, while he was high on whatever stuff he was using, almost killed his mother. He's the only child. And this time they put him away for a long time. But I received a letter from him because his mother called me a few weeks ago. He now loves the Lord. He knows the blood of Jesus has washed away his sin. He knows his battle is not against flesh and blood. And he's grateful nobody gave up on him. Why? Why does it take 20 years? Why does it take 20, 30 years? Whatever it takes. His mom cried out. She says, Kim, if you only knew, when I get letters from him now, it's such a joy. She was in the hospital for I can't tell you how many weeks because of how many broken bones that he gave her. But she didn't give up on him. Today, I wrote a letter back to him. And I reminded him, for some it takes 20 years. For some it might take 30. For some, they never get to see. This one, because of the grace of God, can now see and he can hear. Why is intercession such a job? It's not intended to be anything but. St. Paul says, I pray until the fullness of Christ be fulfilled in you. Now bow your heads. Father, let your Holy Spirit now reconfirm in their hearts that you are the one that can put the kingdom in and then complete it as you see fit. I ask for grace for my brothers and my sisters, that you will complete them in your image, just like you promised, in Jesus' name.